The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers, and we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/sims and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/sims, S-I-M-M-S. Thanks for your help.
That's the goal here, right?
Right.
Keep
right.
it in control so you don't feel like you have to take a whole month off.
Thank you, Dad.
Christopher!
Oh, that really sounded like my
that
dad.
That was pretty good, wasn't
Holy
it?
Holy crap.
I've been listening.
They just gave me a shiver down my spine.
Whoa, that's right. Amin Fareed's getting to know me too well. He is doing imitations of my father, and they're pretty good. It is Monday, August 29th. Some may call it the greatest day ever invented. I just call it my birthday, okay? Just letting you know. That's just a word on the streets. What's up? Chris Sims on button. We got the preseason in the bag.
Yeah.
We're done with that. We're going to do AFC win totals, over-unders today.
Yep.
And Amin Fareed is here.
Yep.
He flew back home on the private jet just to get here for Chris Sims' birthday.
For your birthday.
Unbutton podcast.
Back from Miami late. No, it's a good...
Shivers down my spine.
I don't know if I could do that again if I tried. That was a perfect...
That was pretty good. That was Big Phil right there.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Amin. Thank you very much. You're a good friend. Thank
42.
You. 42. 42. The old Jackie Robinson today.
That's not bad. 42. That's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm 42.
Hey, hello. Welcome. Hello.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club.
42, pretty non-eventful. 40 right. was pretty impactful,
yeah.
I think. You look at that number and you're like, that's not right.
It's a cool number. Like, yeah. I think of Ronnie Lott, and yeah, I always think of Jackie Robinson when you think 42. It's cool, but
yeah.
You're right. It's nothing like... Nothing landmark-wise. I was just thinking, like, if you get to 45, I think it's probably like, oh, man, I'm halfway to 50 in the 40s here.
But you still feel like, all right, I'm still
a long way from 50. Right, right. And I'm feeling good right now. I mean, I'm still like, okay, 42, so what? What's the difference between 41 and 40?
Agreed.
Yeah, and physically, I actually feel better now than I did when I was 41 or 40 because I have some of my back and hip issues figured out, so... Yeah, yeah, it's a good start. And then smoke some weed this weekend. That was big, Amin. It was big. It was a fun weekend.
Did you feel like yourself again?
I did. Well, I mean, not the first time I smoked it. Holy
really?
Crapola, yes. You know, I had quite a tolerance built up through the month of July.
I was wondering if it's the same as alcohol, right? If I go a month without drinking any alcohol and then I do, it's like one glass of
it's
Maker's
probably
Mark.
More jarring.
Really?
Yeah,
more?
I think if you went a month without alcohol and then took one drink, I think you'd like to take, you know, again, maybe one hit, I don't know, but I didn't take one. I don't know. It was like, I kind of lost time. I was literally talking to my wife and just small, this is nice, and smoking. And I don't know if it was like hit five or six, but then it hit me and I was like, whoa. And I had to like stand up and, you know, my wife and daughter were like, what's going on? Cause we were outside. And I was like, I was like, whoa, it just hit me. I need to put this out. And I was like, I was really like on cloud nine for real. So yes, there was definitely an adjustment period there, but it was nice to be back on it a little
your
bit.
Your daughter looks at your wife and goes, what a rookie. Man, look at this guy.
Can't
handle it.
I know, right? What an amateur. So.
Well, I'm glad that you're celebrating it with us.
Thank you.
A good time to have a birthday.
It is.
Right before the football season.
Definitely.
It's like, what a great time.
Good and bad. When you were in school, it wasn't that good because you were like, oh man, my birthday means school's coming around the corner.
It's like a silver lining. It's like, well, school's starting, but at least I have my birthday and I'm going to get some presents.
Well, I guess there's that aspect. And it's football season, so that was the silver lining more than anything, right? And so we'll see. But, I mean, you didn't get me a gift.
No, I didn't get you a gift. But
you wore the yellow pants, which is great. That's kind of a gift in itself.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So Pete texted me this morning. He goes, hey, by the way, it's Chris's birthday. I was like, oh, crap. I go, I should have made him a shirt.
I was expecting a shirt. I mean, then the fact that you're going to just wear it in my face on my birthday. Here we are, more than a year later. I've still gotten a shirt. I thought today was the day. I really felt I'm going to probably bring a shirt for me today.
I know.
This is going to be great.
Today would have been the perfect day
to
bring that out.
It would have been. What?
We're not as close
friends as I thought.
I'm wearing it, and I'm rubbing it in your face.
Good, good.
And it's like the merch for our homies. It's in development.
Yeah, it's in development. Yeah, right, right.
I think we're about a year away.
Just like our YouTube page.
A year and a half away. Yeah, we're in development. Speaking of that YouTube
Speak of it. Hold on. I got two hosts. One who didn't give me a T-shirt that he wears and flaunts in my face.
Yes.
The other host, the asshole Florio, is 37 miles down the road and did the show from there today. Didn't come in. So I don't know. I guess the guys I work with don't apparently like
me
that
No,
much.
No, no, no. I showed up.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I'm
thank
here
you.
In your presence. And no.
What?
I gave you a hug within 10 seconds of seeing you, right? Because I knew I didn't have a T-shirt
yes,
for you.
Yes, sir.
And so I had to give you a hug right there. We have 42 trivia here,
Pete. Oh, I like this.
This caught Chris's eye. All right, we got 42 trivia. What Hall of Fame wide receiver won two Super Bowls number 42? Wow, wide receiver with 42.
Paul Warfield.
What?
Right, Dolphins.
You got it.
Dolphins. I'm a historian here. That was a good one. And then who won Super Bowl? Come on, Pete.
Who
you don't
won
think I'm
going to
know who
Bowl
won
42.
Super Bowl 42? Big Blue, baby. The G-Man. They beat the Patriots. Patriots. Isn't that crazy? They won Super Bowl 21.
Yep.
And then 21 years later, they won Super Bowl 42.
Ooh.
And then 4 years after that, they won Super Bowl 46. Which 4 years after Super Bowl 21, they won Super Bowl 25.
Jeez.
Isn't that kind of funny how it works out like that sometimes?
There's a lot of twos like and fours and,
21s.
Doubling. And so it's like what they won 21, 42. So now
they
it's
They won
what?
21, 25, 42,
46.
Now they're going to win 63 and 67. So we got a while.
What are we up to this year? Which one are we doing?
We're getting there.
Which 57.
I think so. Yeah.
So they're getting there. Hey,
that's right around the corner.
6 year plan, probably about right.
The 21 year plan
for where this roster is right now. So happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you.
The T-shirt is in the mail.
Yeah, sure it is.
For my birthday, I hope we get to 50,000 subscribers. You don't even know when my birthday is. I keep that under wraps.
You're right. I don't know when your birthday is.
You do actually because it's come up before.
I know it has, and I'm a bad friend like you.
It's shared with someone close to you.
Gosh, what is it? November?
November
18th?
November
19th?
Not 19th. Third.
You're with my dad.
I'm with your dad.
Damn, you guys are so different. That's funny that you guys are both Scorpios.
Both Scorpios.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
And I can do the impression of him saying your name.
Right.
By the way, we're not up to 50,000 yet. Our YouTube page, our new football YouTube page, we got to get there. We're up to 32,000 subscribers.
Whoa, we're making jumps here.
We are making jumps. Pete says we picked up over 5,000 over the weekend. We have a new video promoting it where Peter King is blowing off our guy Josh Allen. Oh, I made it.
Oh, you're in there.
With your awkward handshake. Great.
Great is right.
Matt Berry, Jay Croucher is in this new video.
Snoop Dogg's still in the video.
He might be back this year. I don't know.
I mean, we're not even sure, but we're putting him in the sizzle reel no matter what, just to get you to buy in.
So I don't know what's worse there. So I was like, I complained about not being in the promotional video, and now I'm in it.
Yeah,
giving an awkward handshake.
Right.
I don't know what was worse.
It's better to be in it. It's better to be in it than not in it at all.
That's true.
Even though if you do look like kind of a nerd and then bad handshake, that's fine.
You're included.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if your friends are all making fun of you, at least they are acknowledging
you're a friend.
You. You're part of the group.
Yeah, you're a friend to be made fun of.
So that's our NFL on NBC YouTube page. If you have not subscribed, do it. We got 18 more thousand, and you'll never hear of this promo ever again. We are going to do the AFC win totals. You've gone through every team. Have you gone through their schedules, too?
I have.
Wow.
I did. I went through their schedules. I just wrote a few notes on each of them.
Okay.
You know, I got my playoff bracket ready.
Okay.
I've got it all the way down to the championship game and who I think is going to win. I don't know if we're going to do Super Bowl participants. So,
okay.
But I did it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we got all that coming up, our AFC win totals.
You sound like you didn't have yours.
From every team. I've got mine.
Okay.
I got my playoff teams. I got my division winners.
Good.
I don't have the bracket. I don't have the full bracket. I'm not going to do the over-under, but
right.
I've got my playoff teams.
I'm putting
my neck on a line.
Good. Thank you. Thank you.
The line, some would say.
Yeah. Or a line.
Whichever one. You know, it's out there, though.
Yeah. Yes.
But before we get to that, we got some reactions to week 3 in the preseason. So we're going to get to some of these teams, and then we'll get to our AFC win total. Let's just start with the 49ers,
because
there's a lot going on there. There's been a lot going on there for a couple of years now. We've known that they wanted to move on from Jimmy G. a couple years ago. They traded up. They got Trey Lance. They shot away a couple first-round draft picks. And now in the preseason, there have been some concerns with Trey Lance. And Jimmy G is still on the roster, even though they say they want to trade him. They're going to trade him. They might just end up cutting him, even though they say they don't want to do that. So is he staying on the roster or not? What's going on with the quarterbacks? Nick D. Panfilis says, but won't keep Jimmy on the roster undermine Trey? So he is wondering if keeping Jimmy on the roster is going to undermine Trey. The Niners appear to be in a no-win position, but they really have no choice but to cut Jimmy due to the bed they have made with Trey. Yeah, right. They do seem to be in a tight spot right now.
They are, yeah. I mean, in an ideal world, yes. I would go, we want Trey to be the guy, and we'll get rid of Jimmy, and that's all good. Like, definitely. You know, you've heard me say that all offseason. Why would you want that? Why would you want that hovering over your team? Why would you want, you know, the locker room to have issues about, hey, the old guy, the new guy, who do we go with here? You know, you don't want the new guy looking over his shoulder. But I'm going to say, like, watching that game and thinking and talking football this weekend, like, I'm going to change my tune. And again, I mean, I'm just going to kind of observe some of the details and things I've studied here over the preseason that are concerning to me. You know, again, I know Trey Lance, you know, has the potential and the ability to have high-end talent. I understand that. It's a strong arm. We know he's a good athlete. I know he's willing to work. But, man, it's risky. And as we're both saying, and what we said last week, I mean, I think the 49ers roster is the best in football. You thought it was the second best in football. Yep. Not to say we know it all. And I know some people online have given me some pushback a little bit about the offensive line. And I go, well, I'm still not that worried about Aaron Banks and Buford in the middle and that. They got talent. It's not always going to be perfect in preseason for young old linemen. And it's going to be damn good. All right. But here's where I change my tune. I one go, and I'm speaking to my buddy Kyle Shanahan here, and just go, one, all right, team's awesome, Super Bowl team. Quarterback's a major question. Quarterback did not look good in preseason game number three. Did not. I don't care what any, you know, I think everybody kind of saw that. Ryan Fitzpatrick at halftime, I think he even tried to say that lightly. You know, there's just no control over the ball on pretty easy throws. You know, even some completions, as we talked about for the last 2 years, where you go, yeah, it was complete, but that guy was running free over the middle of the field. And if it's on target, it should be a 30-yard gain, not a 7-yard, whoa, what a catch in the ground. You know, two of the sacks, it's, hey, people are open. You got to learn to kind of feel the pocket and make the throw and take a hit. The guy, they're wide open. You know, another one of, they just floating outside the pocket, losing track of where you are altogether, almost getting strip sack fumbled. So those are concerning things to me. And, you know, I know we have the one play in the first game with the great big throw down the sideline. That's it, you know. But other than that, it's been really pretty elementary as far as the completions and what he's done. And, again, I don't see a consistency in the throwing that I would like. And I don't see a feel in the pocket that I would like that, yes, scares me. Now, I know Shanahan can dress it up, and it's going to be the regular season. He's had more game plan plays and things to protect him. But with everything we just said, and then a young guy that, again, I don't think is a natural at playing quarterback. You know, I still think there's signs of him that show safety that got converted to a quarterback. Can he stay healthy? I just come away going, listen, I know we'd like to have Trey Lance be the guy and be the man, but the best football move for the 49ers organization, I think, after evaluating what I've seen and what we hear in training camp too. Again, I'm not just going off of what I've seen in two preseason games. The reports, people you talk to out there, it's never that consistent or blowing anybody out of the water out there as far as his performances in training camp. So then there's all that, you know. I hear plenty of noise that way. So then to evaluate it from the football standpoint, I just go – with that team, I'd have a hard time going, oh, okay, wait, if Trey Lance get hurt, we're going to put it all in Nate Sudfeld's hands. I at some point, listen, I know that's not the absolute best decision and what you wanted maybe 8 months ago, a year ago when you drafted Trey Lance, but I think if you can push your ego to the side and go, okay, I know we've done this and this, and yeah, we're going to get some backlash for why did you trade up to get this guy at number three and all that. Okay, but still, I think you got to protect the number one thing, which is your football team, which is damn good, and whether he gets hurt or even just doesn't play good for 6 weeks, okay, Jimmy G goes in. And if things do go good there, everyone's going to go, well, you'll forget about, oh, they traded up Trey Lance. So the blow will be lessened, at least in my opinion. Don't you think?
Well, it's like the Packers,
right?
The Packers were in a similar situation.
Sure.
Obviously, this was not the plan. You don't trade up to get a quarterback to have him sit for 3 years.
Right.
That wasn't the plan
going
in.
But and this is even more because it's the third pick of the draft.
Easier
too.
For them to justify because Aaron Rodgers has played so well, right? Maybe some of the best years of his career. And
right.
So then they can say, yeah, we messed up, and we're just going to ride the hot hand with Aaron Rodgers for as long as he wants to play with us. That's understandable.
Yeah.
49ers in a similar position, but Jimmy G is not Aaron Rodgers, and so I think that makes it tougher for them. But no, I agree with you. What's Jimmy doing right now, though?
Well, so let's go to the other side of the story. So now you put yourself in Jimmy's shoes.
Yes.
Tell me the situation that's better than the 49ers right now.
Well, first of all, is he practicing with them at all right now?
He's not really practicing with them.
Yeah.
He's working out on the side.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like he's really been in meetings. He's doing all this, you know, training with them, throwing footballs with the trainers and that and whatever else, but nothing like as a part of the team right now. So that's where it is a little weird. But, like, if I'm Jimmy G, and again, I've stated the 49ers side to where I think if you're the 49ers, you know, if you can deal with some of the media backlash and just checking your ego at the door a little bit, I think it's the right football move to keep him. And if I look at Jimmy G's side of the ball here, I go, what else is better than the 49ers situation? First off, you don't want to just go somewhere just to be like, I'm a starter.
Yeah.
And then you get in some shit's position and you look shitty. And then 2023... nobody's going to offer you anything anyways. This year right now is about putting yourself in the best position to strike for 2023. To me, right as it sits here right now, the best position to strike for 2023 is to stay with the San Francisco 49ers. Take a pay cut. So what? Take $12 million, $14 million. Is anybody going to offer him that right now if he gets cut?
That's the key point. Because you brought this up with Mike on Pro Football Talk.
Right.
And he goes, I wouldn't take a penny less if I was Jimmy Garoppolo. Problem with that, though, is if you are cut, you got nothing.
Exactly
and
right.
How much are you going to get?
And who's going to sign you? The Houston Texans just going to go, here's $15 million?
Right.
And then you're behind the eight ball with competing against Davis Mills and learning that offense and doing that? Oh, and then if you don't play, and you didn't beat up Davis Mills, we can't make you a starter. Or if you do play and it's the crappy Texans and it doesn't look good, you don't look any good anyways. We're not going to give you. What do you want to do, go to Seattle? I mean, well, why? Deal with that?
Yeah.
So that's where I go as I thought about this and then started,
makes sense for both sides.
Well, it does. It just makes sense for both sides here. And that's where I think, I would think about this if I'm John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan a little bit. I don't think it's as easy as that. And I got to think, again, if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't want to take less money, then okay. Then maybe you got to cut him and you got to go from there. That stinks. But I got to think Jimmy Garoppolo's got to kind of realize what I'm saying too. Who's going to necessarily pay him double-digit millions right now? Or if they do, is it going to be significantly left? What I can say is, if Trey Lance doesn't play good or Trey Lance gets hurt, there's no situation you're going to be in that's better than the 49ers.
Yeah.
You're that offense with Shanahan, some of the best weapons in the game around you, and you can now get what you want to get maybe in 2023 when you're a free agent.
And I get their plan, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
They saw some deficiencies there. They thought Trey Lance or some of these other quarterbacks could give him more.
Sure.
Along with the fact that he's playing under that rookie deal.
Exactly.
And they've got a lot of great players with Nick Bosa's and Debo's, and they want to pay them.
Right.
So I kind of get the whole view of it.
Yes.
But this year, got a great roster.
Right.
You've already fit Jimmy G's salary apparently into your team.
They can make it work.
They're under the salary cap,
right?
I almost think maybe they're not thinking bold enough. I mean, if Jimmy G is there and if Trey Lance has struggled, you have a Super Bowl competitive team with a Super Bowl roster.
Maybe.
He hasn't been practicing, so that's a problem.
He was practicing.
Practicing and playing how he has played the past couple years, not even any better.
Right.
I mean, why not go with Jimmy G?
Well, he'd be starting if that was it, because that's why he hasn't been practicing or playing, or they don't really want him in the meetings.
Coming back from the injury.
Yes, and I just think that's where it would have got dicey, and that's where, again, you're hoping Trey Lance will be further along to where he would squash this, and it doesn't matter. Right.
But what do you do if they start out 0-4 with Trey Lance?
Then
Jimmy's there.
Then I would put Jimmy G in. You put him in. It's okay. Again, I'll go. They've been pounding this Montana Steve Young narrative down all of our throats, right? And I want to just take everybody back into memory lane of what it was. 1988, week two, 49ers are coming here to play the Giants. Steve Young was the starting quarterback, 1988. Joe Montana had already won two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs. Here he was, 3 years out of it, and he was the backup quarterback to start the game because they weren't sure. He had not played as well the years before. So they were going to – oh, then Steve didn't play good. Oh, we thought Steve was the future. Steve was the future. Well, Steve came here and didn't play very well. They took his ass out in the middle of that game and put Joe back in. Joe threw a game-winning touchdown pass, and boom, guess who won the Super Bowl that year? The 49ers. And guess who won it the year after? The 49ers. Steve Young didn't become a starter until 1991 after that. So, again, I know it's not apples to apples here and all that, but what I'm basically saying is why can't you start Trey Lance and if it doesn't work out well for 2, 3, 4 weeks and then go boom? And I'll go back to what I always say. If he can't handle that or handle the pressure, then shit, you drafted the wrong quarterback. It's a tough situation. We know that. It was a tough situation to begin with. Drafting a guy with that type of team. We get that too. But if I was them, like I said, I would think about keeping him. And if I was Jimmy G, I would go, maybe you guys are the best option for me too. And I'll take $12 million this year or $14 million, and let's see how it all plays out.
Complicated situation.
It is, very much.
For whom the bell tolls, we got smart homies out there giving us questions.
Well, and last, so go ahead. You got more questions about this? Because I had one more. Go ahead. I think it's what I want to hear anyways.
He goes, forget the questions. I'm way more interested in the third round compensatory pick we'd be awarded if Jimmy G stays another year.
Okay.
Along with the insurance for Lance as well.
There you go. So there's another thing. Right, to where the compensatory pick. Here's another aspect of this too. Trey Lance, Jimmy G's there. He takes $12 million, right?
Yep.
They're not 0-4. They're 5-1. They're 5-0. Okay, we got our guy. He's the guy. We're comfortable with Nate Sudfeld as the backup now, and now Jimmy's only making $12 million, and maybe some team that does have an injury at quarterback can trade him, and it's way more appealing. We'll trade for him for $12 million.
Jimmy G came to the 49ers mid-season.
Exactly right. We'll trade for him for $12 million instead of the $25 million. So I think there's the positive of that as well. So, all right, but that's all I got to say about
that. We can talk about that for a long time because that really is a fascinating situation just the last few years and how that quarterback situation is going to shake out for the 49ers. It looks like the Bears have their guy in Justin Fields. There's a lot of debate on if he would go 2, 3, 4 back in the day eventually. He dropped
now,
a little bit,
but
he looks pretty good in the preseason. Kevin Miner asks you, with all this talk of the Bears being a bottom three roster in football, not including the quarterback, what are the chances that the O-line and skill players come out and surprise folks this year? Justin Fields is a stud. We already know that.
Well, he is. He is. I'm not going to argue against it. He's certainly...
He's
proving me wrong
mind.
I'm not going to be sitting here and be stubborn and just let my ego get in the way. I'm really like what I see from Justin Fields. There's no question. I mean, one, I had questions about his motion a little bit. His motion was elbow like this to start the throw.
Up in the air.
The elbow still gets to that position, but it gets there a different way, and there's a difference to me there. Now it comes through the hand more and then gets to that point. Instead of elbow first, then let me try to throw the ball, it's a throwing motion that starts all together, and the elbow gets to that point. But he has great – so there is a difference there to me in that. It's not as segmented. And because of that, it kind of flows better, and he has better control and better accuracy and timing and rhythm. He throws pretty much a perfect spiral on about above 90% of his throws. He really rarely loses control of the ball. He could throw the ball with power, with ease. And then, he's a freak of nature. That's all you can really say. I mean, that's where, the one thing we look at Trey Lance and Justin Fields coming out, like Justin Fields is a way more gifted runner. That's for sure. Justin Fields is in the Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray of, I said this to Florio, he might be the fastest guy in the field. He can run for a 30-yard gain, and you go, I don't think he ever really turned it on. It's that special of an athlete. So I like the way the Bears have looked this preseason. I do think they have an upgrade on the offensive side of the ball as far as the offensive coordinator is concerned. And I do think that defensively, Matt Eberflus is good. They look organized, tough. Understands situational football. Fields is seeing the field really well and reading defenses properly and making the appropriate throw off it. So, I'm not sitting here. I'm going to say the Bears are going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think like one of those maybe surprise pain in the butt teams is certainly in the potential to where we go, oh, you know, they had a little bit better of the year than we all gave them credit for, you know, before the season started.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
They were 6-11 last year.
Right.
We're not doing the AFC or the NFC win totals today.
Right.
I don't know. Might be around that range again this year. But Justin Fields does look good, and that's a huge key, right?
Yeah.
Do you have your quarterback of the future? Once you have that, everything seems to kind of fall in place.
It's looking
around
good
a lot of times, unless you're the Detroit Lions and have Matt Stafford for over a decade and never figure it out. But that's another topic for another time. What'd you think of Baker Mayfield? We got the Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold who went down. I haven't seen an update.
It's a bad high ankle sprain.
That's not
good. Had a guy fall on, you know, the outside of his leg, and it just his ankle went the wrong way. Yeah.
So Baker had won the job even before that game, though.
Well, I think, yes, right. He did. He won the game. He won the starting job before the game, and I think what he did was solidify it, and they can, it's something they can build off of in this game.
Yeah, what'd you think of him?
Just, you know.
Healthy?
Healthy, looked good, arm looked great. You know, again, but Baker, his arm, to me, is in the special, you know, pretty special category. Again, I'm not going to say it's like Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert there, but it's a damn powerful arm to where it's a game-changing arm. His ability to rip off a, you know, a 20-yard corner route or a 25-yard out route, he does it with ease. So that's going to change their offense and open up the field. And then, you know, little off-schedule play for a touchdown. It's supposed to be a three-step drop. Nobody's there. He kind of moves to the right, sets up, throws an aggressive ball in the end zone. You know, they got to be happy with the way he looks. He gives their team another edge, not only emotionally, but I think physically too, because his arm coupled with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, who can run down the field, we know, and beat one-on-ones, that's going to be scary. It is. Mm-hmm. And then you got McCaffrey underneath and somebody else underneath, and, you know, hopefully he doesn't get too over-aggressive and knows when to check it down to them. But I liked what I saw from Baker.
We're not picking the NFC playoff teams, but I kind of was looking at it earlier today, and I picked the Panthers to make the playoffs last year. They were like my team.
They were
like,
my team too. Yeah, right. They were.
Both did it.
They were. Yeah.
And they look, in the first few weeks, it was like, man, this might work.
100%.
Defense looks awesome. Offense looks good enough.
Right.
And then the offense became the worst offense in football. And
yeah, well, we talked about that a lot, you know, before Joe Brady got fired and all that. It was not good.
So I don't know.
I know. They're one of those teams where if you made me pick a, like, I'm not going to spoil it either. Yeah, I don't plan on picking them for the playoffs either. I'm even going to say this today about a team. If there's that one team that comes out of nowhere, we go, I can't believe we're here in the first week of the playoffs and they're in this, sir. They are, I think, in that team, at least in my mind. I'm juggling around a little bit.
Probably not going to be the Seattle Seahawks, who were 7-10 last year, even with Russell Wilson on the roster, although he was hurt for a bit of it. They've gone with Geno Smith. Drew Locke has been beaten out. Mehmet 305. He often writes into the podcast here.
Yep.
Is it fair to say that Drew Locke blew his final opportunity to become a starting quarterback in the NFL with his performance against the Cowboys?
I mean, listen, he's walking a fine line. He is. Now, I don't think it's his final opportunity, because there's a good chance he might get another opportunity to prove himself during the regular season this year. You know, how good is Seattle? That's going to be debatable. You know, there's Geno Smith, certainly we know, is not a franchise guy. So if they don't play well or he struggles, I don't think it's going to be like a long leash where they're going to be like, well, we'll let Geno figure it out because he's the guy of the future. So I do think he'll have another shot there. You know, at the start of training camp, I thought, really, man, Geno sounds like he's the leader, you know, in the clubhouse as far as being the starter. But they kept leaving the door cracked for Drew, leaving it cracked for Drew. And, of course, COVID hit, and then this game hit. I mean, he made the decision easy. I mean, again, this is – he's got to watch it. He's got a little of a reputation, and two of those three interceptions were horrible. And really, the third one's not that great either. The guy was wide open, and he kind of made the guy have to dive out and go in front of himself a little bit, and the ball got knocked up in the air. But the two before that, you know, those are things where you go, man, a guy this long in his career playing against backups on defense, like, come on, that should not be happening. Throwing a preseason game 3, 2 interceptions into the guys, like, into their chests – You know, that for a guy that's been playing as long as he has, that should not be happening. Not like that. You know, there's difference between Mac Jones' interception and that interception, which we might talk about later on. But
right.
Yeah, he's out of the trust tree. I know that for sure.
It'll give Geno Smith a chance to prove you right. Maybe you've been high on him.
Yeah,
and what
I think Geno is clearly the guy.
Ability.
Yeah, I do. I'm excited to see what Geno has. He's got physical talent. The one thing I come to hear down the stretch is just go, you know, as I more and more went by, I went, okay, but they kept saying all the right things about Geno being the starter, but the fact that they kept leaving the door cracked open for Drew made me think a little differently over the last 10 days to go, well, maybe they wanted Drew to take this and win it. And I think there's probably a part of that, too, because of the politics of the situation. Wait, we traded Russell Wilson for these picks and these players and that quarterback. And even though that quarterback's not a household name, it looked better if the guy we traded for was the starter that we traded away our franchise guy for, right?
Yeah, I think he's just more exciting, too.
Right. It's more of an exciting story.
He's
yes.
still developing. You know,
yes.
He's still on the upward ascent where you feel like
Geno, you know
Smith,
what it is. I think you're probably right.
Even though he might have as good a year as he's had, you know, he's got some weapons
over there.
No, but I
think your point's right. You're right. I think there is. There's the excitement of the unknown, but he made that decision for him, and he's in backupville for a little while.
Jameis Winston has had many exciting moments in his career. Not all good, but they are exciting and interesting to watch, at least on the football field. He played for the Saints in their last preseason game. He went 4 for 4, 59 yards. His quarterback rating was 118.8. What does that number mean to you?
Well, the first thing I think that I looked at with Jameis is just how in shape and you know, just athletic he looks. You know,
do you trust that leg? Do you, you know, are
yeah,
you able to move
I know, right. So, I mean, he looked good moving. He didn't have to run or do anything like that. But I didn't sit there watching him move in the pocket go, oh, you could tell there's something bothering him. And, you know, just looked trim and in shape to maybe where in years past I would go, oh, maybe a little baby fat there or whatever else. But, I'm kind of expecting big things from them. I think they're sneaky. Sneaky good, O-line's good, and I think if he takes care of the football, you see there with, you know, some of the big throws he had to Jarvis Landry, and I just think with Olave and of course Michael Thomas, if he can be healthy, yeah, I think they're going to be a real pain in the butt. You know, they'll be able to run the ball, and he looked good to me. He did. You know, it was only 4 throws, but it looked the part.
Top 5 roster in the NFL, according to Ahmed Farid.
Well, I hear you there.
They've
got the pressure of that. A little high there for me, but yes, top 10 I can get in that conversation with, for sure.
There'll be a playoff team for me in the NFC, which we're not doing here today. Final question before we get into our win totals for the AFC.
Yeah.
It's about my Detroit Lions and Hard Knocks. Go Longhorns 45.
Woo.
Do you know them?
I do.
Their
I've
friend?
Heard of them. I wonder.
Okay.
I wonder if, I don't know who that is. I wonder.
Okay.
Wonder if it's an ex-player.
Maybe. He goes, watching Hard Knocks, I get the feeling that Dan Campbell and staff have wound the Lions a little bit too tight in camp this year. Every practice, drill, game, etc. feels like the Super Bowl for them. I get the need to create culture, but is this a typical tone for a camp?
Well, no, nothing's typical about them. There's nothing typical. I mean, and again, the way those coaches act, the intensity there, yeah, I would say maybe that's a hair more intense. But I would also say it's an organization that needs a real shakeup. I mean, they need to, like, and I will say, I, you know, the problem with Hard Knocks is a lot of the times we don't get to see the top-notch organizations or maybe the coaches that might be a little bit more like this. But what I would say to Go Longhorns 45 is, even though it might not be the yelling and the, hey, we're going to, you know, face paint and sharpen the spears and all that kind of talk, like, you go to New England, they feel the pressure every day in practice. They're wound so fucking tight, they don't even know how to relax, right? So they're feeling that on a day-to-day basis. It might not be Bill yelling at them like Dan Campbell and Deuce Staley is like that, but it's pressure. Mm-hmm. Shanahan, 49ers, pressure. It's expectation to, you know, meet his expectations on a daily basis. John Harbaugh, it ain't fluke camp over there. I could tell you that too. So those places have that type of pressure on a daily basis is what makes them great. And I think it's something that's needed for this football team.
Yeah.
Again, this is a team that needs something, needs some toughness, some grit to steal a few wins early and gain some confidence. And the only way you're going to do that is to be like, every day we got to kind of have that we're going to battle feel to get better. And then even when the game comes, it's maybe not so as stressful either. I think there's a lot of positives to it. So I understand. And if it maybe goes on for years and years here, it might fall on some deaf ears eventually. But I think right now it's needed.
I almost think it might be more of a balancing of things out because Dan Campbell's not the most serious guy, right?
He has fun.
He'll make fun of himself. He's not taking this all 100% serious. And so maybe this is a balance. Sometimes when you're on the practice field, it's be like, all right, I got to show that this is serious. I'm not joking around anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about kneecaps anymore or anything like that. We're getting down and we're playing football, wins and losses. So.
I've liked the balance. It's been a good show. I've really enjoyed it. I think it's been one of the better ones in a few years.
This is going to be a good show because this is the one that you can go back to on your podcast list and see if Chris was right or wrong.
I wonder how I did last year.
We don't check.
No.
We don't check. You know, we just go. We look forward. You know, if people ask us about that and if people ask you about that and bring up where you messed up last year, say, we're looking forward.
I was about 500.
Oh,
yeah.
Pete says we did better in the NFC.
Better in the NFC. Well, I had the Rams in the Super Bowl, so that was good. I knew that. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the NFC was pretty strong.
So, yeah, the Browns in the Super Bowl, that didn't work out.
No, it did not.
That didn't happen.
I had them beating the Chiefs, I believe.
Okay. All right. But you didn't know Baker was going to get hurt and that he was going to hate Odell and that was going to happen. So with a lot of these things, that's why I say this about predictions all the time. If you're right in a prediction, it just means that you were lucky enough to be correct.
Because
a lot of things will happen throughout the year that you're like, well, if I knew that and if I knew that and if I knew he was going to get hurt or if I knew this team was going to play that style, I wouldn't have done that. But we're here right now, moment in time, going to try to predict which teams are going to rise above their Las Vegas odds. Their win total here, the AFC is stacked here. Pete notes 12 of the 16 teams have a win total at 8.5 or higher. Only 9 teams are like that in the NFC. So we got a lot of good teams here.
We definitely do. The AFC is loaded. And, of course, the quarterback thing makes it, you know, tough. It does. Not only weapons, but, you know, some of the quarterbacks we have in the AFC where you go, I don't know if this team is that great, but the quarterback is damn good, and he might steal 2-3 wins here during the year with you know, late game heroics. So that makes things a little tougher too.
And I don't want people out there counting, you know, oh, you went over on 10 and you went under only on 6. That's mathematically impossible.
It is possible. Yeah, people got to stop
doing
that. I remember that last year too.
Yes. Yeah. It is possible.
Right. Like last year, I remember going through it going, you know, No. I think Houston will be like fucking 4-13. I'm like that. It's gonna be that. It's gonna be Jacksonville with 1 or 2 or 3 wins. Like
yes,
you know, I remember making that the Jets was gonna be 3 or 4 wins. So we had some of that, and you got to remember, when we picked the under, and I'll try to say that. Like I think it's gonna be way under or just barely over. It doesn't have to match up that way. You're right.
Exactly. Because if a team goes 17-0, that's over, but that's a lot of wins over the expected.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That means on the bottom end, the math works out. Just trust us on that one. The homies will not trust us on the math, us knowing that, but that's okay. All right, let's start in the AFC East. This is always an interesting division. Patriots owned this division for so long, but it seems like it's the Bills to own now for years in the future as long as they have Josh Allen. So let's just go through team by team here. Let's start with the Bills. Their win total is 11.5. Last season, they were 11-6. They were the 3 seed in the AFC.
Yeah. All right. I mean, 11-5, you know, it's of course, that's – I'm going to go over here. You know, I will say it's a tough first 7 games on the Bills' schedule, starting with it's their 17th game with the Rams because they're not playing the NFC West this year.
Yeah.
So this is the extra game, you know, crossover game, which is really good. You know, but yes, tough first 7, and I look at it and go, ooh, man, that's a tough first 7. But I also look at it the other way and go, whoa, these first 7 got to play this team with this good defense that I think is better. And then you have to deal with, whoa, you got to get ready and be ready for Josh Allen and company early on in the season. That's not always going to be so easy either. So even though I look at it and go, wow, those first 7 games are brutal, okay, I don't think we're going to be sitting here going, whoa, the Bills are 2-5. You know, I think it's – at the worst, I'm thinking, whoa, they'll be 4-3. And they got a chance in the middle of the schedule to kind of go on a run where I just look at the Jets, the Vikings, the Browns, Detroit, you know, the Patriots, the Jets again. You know, again, not that I'm saying they're better. They're, yeah, on paper, they're better than all those teams. They definitely are. I got no problem saying that. I know it won't be easy playing the Patriots at New England on a Thursday night. I get that. But I think I could sit here right now and go, do I think that they're better than the Jets, the Vikings, the Browns, the Lions, the Jets on paper? 100%. You know, and we'll see where the rest goes. And so I am going to go with the over here with the Bills. And I certainly could see them being 12-5, 13-4.
They are the favorite to win the AFC East. I think we have the division odds for each and every division here. So they are favored over the Patriots, over the Dolphins, over the Jets. Do we have that, Kristen? Have we shown that already? Oh, we did show it already. Sorry, I missed it. But here it is again. If you're watching on YouTube on our new page and subscribed, thank you for that. Bills at -215, Patriots at +450 right there with the Dolphins at +450, and the Jets at +2,000 right now. So, you know, the Bills were the one team, I think, that showed up in your mentions over and over again when you posted both of our top five rosters, excluding quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
A lot of Bills fans were in there being like, what? Where are the Bills?
I know.
Why aren't we there?
Well, it's one of those where I think when you still, I think, add everything together, I'd go, okay, we added the coach and the quarterback in it. That would put them top five for me.
Yeah.
You know, again, yeah, there's things about their roster where there's certain areas where I don't say wow maybe as compared to the other teams. Like their defensive line, I didn't say wow, but it has the potential to be more wow this year. All right, so I got that. Secondary, corners, you know, again, I know it's good, but okay, it's a rookie we got to see. Tre'Davious White coming back from injury. You know, Jordan Poyer, wants more money. He's been sitting out on the side, and it didn't look great last year. You know, the offensive line, I think, is going to be better, but it's not a killer group, right?
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, again, I like Stephon Diggs. I like the supporting cast, but I don't go, oh, wow, that's definitely one of the best skill groups in football. I don't think anybody would. So, you know, again, that's where the coaching, the schemes, how they play the game, how they put pressure on you both sides of the ball, to me, makes them a top five team in football.
Yeah.
But without the quarterback and the coach, I don't think they're there.
That's just some of the downside risk maybe for this Buffalo Bills team in 2022. The New England Patriots, they're at 8.5. Last year with a rookie quarterback, they were 10-7. They were a playoff team, sixth seed in the AFC. 8.5 seems kind of low, maybe.
It's right on the cusp for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's I'm going to go under here, right? I mean, it's like I wrote a flat line next to it because I'm like, this could go either way. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is I got questions about their offense. I mean, how could I not? I don't give a crap if it's Bill Belichick or not, right? They lost Josh McDaniels. Nobody has – you watch the preseason games, especially the first team offense. It hasn't been stellar.
Not great.
There's offensive line questions. You know, I see throws or schemes downfield where I go, you know, Josh wouldn't have taught the guy to run the route like that. It doesn't look quite as spaced out or taught as well with some of the pass concepts. How could it not be? McDaniels is special. Even as great as Bill Belichick is, he's not as good an offensive mind as Josh McDaniels is. Not on just an offensive mind and teaching the quarterback. No, he's not. And this is the greatest coach ever. I understand that. But not in that specific department. McDaniels is special there. So, and then I go, oh, offensive line, you know, and the offense is not looking good. And then I go, oh, well, great. You get the Dolphins the first week on that defense. Whoa. And then you get the Steelers. Whoa, another good defense. And then, hey, the Ravens. And then the Packers. So I just go, man, it could be, even though I don't think these teams are remarkably better than them, I think there are maybe some bad matchups with their defenses here. And that's where it could get a little scary. So, you know, I could see them making a middle run, certainly. You know, and the Jets are on the schedule twice there and everything. But then at the end of the year, when it goes Bills, Cardinals, Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins, Bills again, it gets tough. So I'm going to go under here. Mm. I think the Patriots are going to be an 8-9 football team.
8-9.
7-10, 8-9. That's what I'm going to predict this year. I can't even believe I'm saying it. I can't. I think their defense is really damn good. I do. But I don't know if it's got enough playmakers to where I think they're just going to carry the team. And I got the questions on the offense. I don't question Mac Jones either. That's the other thing I want people to realize. Mac physically looks better than last year. He does. I mean, he's quicker. His running looks better. His arm looks more powerful. You know, I know he threw the bad interception the other night, and he was kind of scrambling to the right, and the backer was following him to the right, and then he set up behind a guard and a defensive tackle, and I think he lost sight of the guy and thought he was still floating with him, and the guy stopped and came back underneath it, and he threw the interception. So, but yeah, it's not Mac Jones' question. It's offensive question and just where they are as a team there.
At goal line stand, yeah. Two agrees with you.
Okay.
Said, did the Patriots make a mistake by trying to implement the zone run scheme this offseason? It mostly has looked bad in preseason and practice.
I don't get it. I don't know where it's come from. I don't know why they're doing it. You know, I don't. I go, the Patriots, like the one of the best man-to-man blocking teams in football over the last 10 years, the team that is like better that block down, kick out, look for work inside, somebody else is pulling around, kick out, the traps in the middle, the wham plays, all of that, they're going to go to the zone scheme. I just don't know where it came from. And that's part of my question too. You know, again, as much as I respect like Matt Patricia and what he does, this is his first year on this side of the ball too, and he's coaching the offensive line. So, you know, you can maybe put me in this one in a little bit of the category of like, I got to see it to believe it first.
Yeah. Do you see the Dolphins and do you believe them in this preseason? Been some highlight plays. They got Tyreek over there to help your guy Tua take the next step as a quarterback. They were 9-8 last year. They were 4-2 in the division. That was better than the Patriots last year.
Right.
They've just missed out on the playoffs the last couple of years.
Yep.
8.5 is their over-under.
Over. I'm just going over right now.
Confidently.
Confidently. You know, not that I'm sitting here going, oh, they're going to be 12-5, but I'm going over here. Their team is too damn good. Their defense is going to be the same, right? There's really nothing going to change there. In fact, I just think they'll be better because some of the young guys are a year older, and I just go, watch out. I mean, their defense is stacked, let alone the scheme is awesome. Offensively, the last few years, their scheme has not been very good, right? And we know there's a quarterback question. I don't doubt the scheme anymore, and they got more talent on the field that side of the ball. And I think the scheme fits the quarterback to where, yes, I'm not sold on Tua as being the franchise future guy. No, I'm not. You know, like I've told you, I want to see where it is, you know, when you start playing some good defenses to take away some of the Mike McDaniel tricks and all that.
Right.
But tough first four games, you know, that's like the only thing I look at. Let me just make sure I pull up. Yep, there he goes. Pull up their schedule too. Tough first four games, there's no doubt. But have a stretch there in the middle, again, that I look at and just go, they could make a run there. On paper, they're definitely better than the Jets, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Lions, the Bears. They're definitely better. I'd have no problem saying that. I know that doesn't translate into wins. I got you. But I don't think anybody in football would go, well, if you could have the Dolphins roster or the Vikings, Steelers, Lions, or Bears roster, who would you take? Nobody, and the Jets, nobody would even think twice. They go, oh, I'll take the Dolphins. So that's why I go, they can make a run there. End of the year gets tough. And then what's the other thing I look at with this team? Cold weather.
Yeah.
That's the definitely. Yeah. They got two cold games in December, so they're lucky that it's not more than that. They're at the Bills December 18th. They're in Foxborough January 1st. That's going to be big. And then the only potential cold games they might have could be November 6th at Chicago, and that's really about it. Yeah. So I go, that's kind of favorable for a team and a guy that I question the quarterback's ability to throw into bad weather. So sorry for the long answer there.
No, that's good. And,
yeah. And
week one's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Week one against the Patriots.
No doubt.
Where if the Patriots win 30-0, you'll go, I was wrong. I was flat out wrong. I'm taking the L right now. No, we'll see. That'll be a fun first week game there. James Kaminsky just walked by, a researcher here. Huge Jets fan.
Oh, huge Jets fan.
So he's not going to be able to hear this, unfortunately. Or maybe fortunately, depending on where you go here. They were 4-13 last year. Their over-under is 5.5 wins.
This is like, again, I don't know where to go here. If I go under, it's 5 wins. If I go over, I feel like it's 6 wins. I don't think it's going to be much more than that. I'm really on the fence with that one. It's like about perfectly placed.
That's why they do that.
I know.
Five.
How dare they?
Screw you.
But the this is what I'll say at first before I make a final decision here, because this is one that I think the Jets are going to be a better football team. I just don't know if it's necessarily going to translate into a whole much, you know, a lot better of a record. I don't. You know, again, I think the schedule is, the karma there is just remarkable. They got the toughest first 10 games in football. There's nobody that has a tougher schedule. You know, you look at it, and I don't, again, on paper, I understand it's paper, but nobody on their first 10 games can you sit there and go, the Jets roster is better than them right now. No. Nobody. You know, I'm not Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers, I know is not perfect, but, you know, I think we'd all probably still take the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Packers, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Bills, the Patriots again. You know, again, that's where it's sheesh is right. To where, hey, the end of the year, maybe they can make a run and make it respectable. Maybe they do get to the six wins there with the Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, the Jags, the Seahawks all being. But, like, I'll say under for right now. You know, I'm qualifying it as I think it's going to be five or six wins. Can they steal a win, you know, at Cleveland or at Pittsburgh or somebody like that early on to make it a 7-10 year? To make it an 8-9 year. I don't know. I do think they're better across the board. But as we talked about, I mean, you know, this is playing high school football. If your team's not that good, it helps to get going early in the year with a win or two to go, and you just start to feel fake good.
Yeah.
And then you're going to play that good team in week four, and you go, well, yeah, we're 3-0. We're 2-1. We're not just going to be outclassed here.
You believe.
And I just wonder if they're going to be able to find a way to start believing it all.
My team in high school was not that good.
Okay.
And so it was the opposite. We'd lose the first couple. Yeah, you're right. And then we go, we don't believe anymore. But we would always look at our schedule and we'd go, man, we have a really tough schedule. And then it dawned on me, I go, because we don't have to play ourselves. That's why. When you're not very good, your schedule is always going to be a little bit tougher than everyone else's because you don't play yourself. Pete is noting here, Jets are favored in three games this year. The first one, as you noted, Week 12 against Chicago after their bye. Or is that week 11? Oh, yeah, week 12.
It's
2 weeks after their bye.
Yeah.
Then against Detroit and then against Jacksonville, all at home.
Right.
So
right.
Only favored in three and 14.
Yeah. That's scary.
Not great.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, so do you want to tell us which teams are going to make the playoffs from this
or do
division?
You want to wait? You want to wait or not? Let's wait.
Pete says let's wait.
Let's wait.
All right. Let's
might
do
have
it.
A
let's
few tiebreakers here.
You might have an idea.
Right.
Why don't you do this? If you're listening, not if you're driving, because if you're driving, keep driving. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. If you're listening and they got a pad of paper, jot down who you think Chris is going to pick here for his playoff teams. Fun little game, maybe.
You're just going to give the playoff teams. You don't want to get in the over-under thing?
No. That's your deal. That's your deal.
Thanks a lot.
AFC North.
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
To do all the over-unders on win totals. AFC North. Let's take a look at the division odds first here. I'm curious to see this.
Yeah, no, this is an interesting one.
Where we are right now. So the Ravens are your favorite right now to win the AFC North over the Bengals Super Bowl participant, Cincinnati Bengals. So it's pretty close. Plus 140 for the Ravens, plus 165 for the Bengals. Browns are there third, plus 450, and then Steelers last 850. Nothing like the plus 2,000 we saw with the Jets, though. That's interesting, though. I don't think I would have guessed that the Ravens would be the favorite.
Yeah, I know. It's one that we've looked at all year long, kind of going, huh. I mean, well, I wonder why it's so, you know, shockingly or convincingly the Ravens, too. Yeah. I'm just going to let you know. What's their over-under? What's it at?
9.5.
I'm going over. I mean, the Ravens, to me, are one of the teams to watch out for. You know, the AFC North plays the AFC East and the NFC South. You know, so again, it's good football, no doubt. I do look at their first 9 weeks it's a tough schedule. But like again, with the Ravens, the way their roster is, you know, the culture there, I don't know. The Ravens just to me have no weakness on their football team. You know, the only thing you can really look at is go, I wish they were a little more explosive at receiver. But they're a team that's not dependent on that. So it doesn't bother me as much. I think their defense is pretty stacked. And I think, you know, their offensive line, as long as Ronnie Stanley's healthy, they're going to be dominant. I know the running backs are still waiting to get 100% here, but I just think between that, that you know, again, even though their first nine games are very tough, I don't think it's going to be so much to where we're going to go, oh, man, the Ravens really blew it. They're out of it. And then the second half of the schedule, I find to be favorable for them. And I know that's a long way down the road, but, yeah, I just think the Ravens are going to be one of those teams that they're going to be in the playoffs. I'm throwing that out there right now. Yes, they're going to be.
They're a playoff team for you. You were lower on them last year than a lot of other people.
I was. I think, you know, some of the flaws as far as – I just wasn't sure just with some of the injuries early on, and it just seemed like it was one of those years that a letdown was kind of there and ready.
And 8-9.
We had the training camp injuries, I think, that kind of helped me to go, oh, man, those are big positions for that football team right there. I can't be real hot on that.
They're just underdogs in three games this season, the Baltimore Ravens. So Las Vegas is believing in them, those games, by the way, Buffalo at Tampa. Pete is writing furiously in a rundown, and at Cincinnati. So those are some good teams. That leads us right to Cincinnati here. Their over-under is 9.5. Yeah, that may sound low to you, but they only won 10 games last year in the regular season, 10-7, were the four seed in the AFC and took that all the way to the Super Bowl. So this is a tough one. The Bengals are a tough one because they maybe got there like a year early. And you're like, wow, they kind of made a – they made two steps in 1 year. Do they take another step, or do they kind of regress to the mean of what maybe they should have been?
I'm taking last year as a jump off. I am. I've been pretty adamant about that all off season. Last year was one of those where I go, if the season just kept going, they would have just kept getting better. They were still going on an upward trajectory into the Super Bowl. All right, they found a team that kind of found their legs and trajectory kind of at the end of the season too, and it was, I think, maybe the toughest matchup in all of football for them with the Rams in the Super Bowl. But I just look at the Bengals and go, wait, they went to the Super Bowl, they got better. Could they maybe have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover? Okay, maybe. I don't think it's going to be a big one if it is. More or less the thing I look at a little bit to where I'm picking the over here with them is just that they're gonna not going to catch anybody by surprise this year. When they come into town, people are going to go, oh, we're playing the team that was in the Super Bowl this year. I mean, there's going to be fanfare and, you know, media hype around it. So there's going to be expectations there. But I think the big thing is, I mean, the start of their schedule is certainly nothing like crazy. I know the Steelers is tough always, but it's at home. And they showed to have the Steelers number last year. You know, I look at them and go, again, I think they're better than the Cowboys and the Jets. The Dolphins going to be tough. I know that. But, man, I could see them getting through week 9 there before their bye where, Carolina in week 9, where I could sit there and go, well, they can easily be 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, they might be 7-2, something like that. But then after the bye week, man, they got some little stretch there. And that's where it could be dangerous for them. It, you know, even though we don't know what these teams are going to be, like, I know that, you know, teams like Tennessee, Kansas City, the Bucks, the Patriots, the Bills, the Ravens, even if they aren't as good as we think, they're not going to be slam dunk type of wins. I don't give a crap how the season falls out. Yeah. To where I look at the end of that schedule and go, ooh, that's some way to end your season in November and December there.
That Super Bowl hangover is real.
It is.
We have seen that.
It is.
Many times.
Yep. I
even
know.
With teams that won the Super Bowl, so but you're going over.
I'm going over
on the 9.5 with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes,
the Browns
just over
8.5, just over for the Bengals. Browns 8.5. They were 8-9 last year with a whole lot of turmoil. Now this is a tough one, and you've already let the cat out of the bag with one team. I'm going to do that too with the Browns. I ranked them as having the number, I think, 2 roster in football.
Yeah,
I mean, you probably have them top 10-ish, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, though.
Because there's quarterback question.
So much going on. There's just so much going on.
Distraction.
And you know what? They have talent on defense, like on paper, and that's what we did the exercise with last time. Like defensively, there's like, those are some great names, and Miles Garrett's awesome, and JOK, you like him. But he said at the end of the year, we got to come together as a team, right?
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe they can rally around this. It's a weird thing to rally around this whole offseason for the Browns, so I don't know. That's just my 2 cents on the Browns.
I like what you're saying. Plus, I don't know. Like, again, I think the roster, this is where it's, again, that was a great exercise. That's the roster. I'm not sold on the most well-coached defense in football. I'm not sold that they're the most creative offense in football. So that hurts it all, too. And then you add in the quarterback dysfunction. I'm going under with the Browns. Mm-hmm. I am. You know, I can see them getting out of the gates, you know, pretty good. I can. But I got questions on both sides of the ball. I mean, you hit out the quarterback situation. And again, the fact that Jacoby Brissett only played last week, and again, it wasn't that great, that doesn't make me feel better about week one. Defensively, it was a top five defense in football last year, but like I've said kind of about the Bills, who were the number one team, not really a top five defense, not really. They feasted on the crap teams in the NFL. The Chiefs put up 33. The Chargers put up 47. The Cardinals put up 37. Okay? The Patriots put up 45. Right? I mean, all the teams that had a quarterback and an offense moved the ball on them. So, you know, that's where I'm not totally just bought in on them. So, and then I look at their schedule and go, yeah, they could get off to a good start because on paper, like you're talking about, when you look at their 2022 campaign here, yeah, Panthers, Jets, Steelers, Falcons. I mean, if you told me, hey, the Browns, look at them, they're 3-1, I'd go, yeah, okay, I'm not shocked. But I could also sit there and go, oh, then after the next three games, you guys are still 3-5 now and lost 4 in a row to the Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, yeah, and Bengals. I could certainly see that happening.
And then they go, oh, we got Deshaun coming back, though, but how is he going to play?
Well, yeah, right. And then, oh, yeah, great. You know, he comes back and it's, you know, before he comes back, it's still at Dolphins, at Bills and Buccaneers. Right. He gets to play the Texans, which will be can't miss TV. And, you know, at the Bengals, Ravens, and Saints. So, yeah, I think I could see them kind of getting to a fake good start and falling apart as the year goes along. I'm going under here.
Going under for the Browns. So two overs with the Ravens and the Bengals. We got an under with the Browns. One final team in the North here, the Steelers, who have never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. I love that streak.
I know.
And I will be rooting for that to continue.
Right.
Even though I'm not going to pick them as a playoff team. They're 7.5. That's their over-under. They were 9-7-1 last year. Just squeaked in to the playoffs as the 7th seed. We're not very good. But they got there, and that with Mike Tomlin, they always seem to get there. They figure out a way.
I think this is the year it's going to go down. It's going to break. You know, it stinks that you can't go 8-8 and be, you know, 500.
I know,
right?
8-8-1. Yeah. Maybe get us another tie.
Maybe if he does that, that would be amazing. You know, 7.5. All right, if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to go in the under and say they win 7.
Well, I'm not putting a gun to
your head. Okay, well, fine. If you put the proverbial gun to my head, I'm going to go under. I am. You know, again, one, I think the thing that there is the quarterback question, and I really think the biggest thing for me is, yeah, their division, we know it's good. I mean, yes. And I just don't trust their offensive line. I think it's a real issue for me. The way it's looked, the way they want to play, I don't like that aspect of it. And then when you look at their schedule early on, too, which would be scary, and this is why I wouldn't start Kenny Pickett, is for this right here, what you see if you're watching on YouTube, is they got to play really the first 8 games other than the Jets. Those are like the top defensive lines in football. Hmm. That's what scares me more than anything. It's not even necessarily the teams altogether. I just go the Bengals, the Patriots, the Browns, the Bills, the Bucks, the Dolphins, and the Eagles. That's other than the Rams and the 49ers, we're taking all the teams that have the best pass rushes in football, basically. So that would scare the crap out of me. And, yeah, because of that, I'm not going to ride with them this year. I think they're just going to be under. I think it's going to be 7-10, maybe 8-9. I understand that. They're one of those teams that 7.5 is perfectly placed. But if you made me go, I'm going under.
I hope you're wrong.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're going to be right on that.
I feel like I'm going to be right.
Gun to your head, I feel like you're going to be right. How weird would that be if I just did that on the pod one time? Be like, that was weird.
Maybe we should do that. It'd be cool. Let's get...
Yeah. Pete says that escalated quickly. Yeah, right? Never forget my birthday again.
Give me a t-shirt next time.
Yeah. Where's my shirt? All right. So that's half the divisions in the AFC. We're flying through this here. All right. AFC South now. We'll start with the odds here in the South. This is interesting, too. Because I think this might be surprising to some people. Maybe not. Titans don't always get a whole lot of love out there outside of Nashville.
It's amazing, right.
So they are not, even though they were the one seed last year, yep. They've been good for a while here. Derrick Henry hopefully comes back healthy. They are not the favorite to win this division. You got the Colts there at -135, the Titans at +175, Jaguars at +700. So a little love there for the Jaguars. Maybe they've been listening to Chris Sims talk about them here on Unbuttoned. And the Texans at +3,300. All right, so the Colts, we'll start with them. They are the favorite. Are you surprised they're the favorite, first of all?
I am.
I am, too.
I mean, my favorite would be the Titans. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. Again, the Colts are a tough team for me. This is one of those teams where I go, I could be wrong. I'm going with the under here.
So they're 9.5.
Right.
They had 9 wins last year. So with all this expectation, you think they're going to have fewer wins than last year?
Well, it's just going to be right around there. It could be 9-8 again. You know, I could see it being that way, right? I know the whole 17th game makes it crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, I think it's there, right around there. Uh-huh. I'm not expecting, guaranteed playoffs with this football team. Absolutely not. You know, another team that I look at where, I know Matt Ryan's there. That's great. And he knows how to play. You know, I guess there's a part of me that looks at his arm through these preseason games and goes, ooh, it's not overly explosive. Mm-hmm. Can they make enough plays there? Are they going to be tough enough and determined enough to run the ball, which they weren't, for the first half of the year last year? So I guess there's that aspect of it for me. And defensively, I like them. But again, I'm not in wow. It's like, to me, it's a lot of good. I love DeForest Buckner. He's a killer. Kwity Paye, I'm not sure about. Yannick Ngakoue, I'm not like, oh, wow, that's a game changer. I know Shaquille Leonard's in the middle. The secondary to me, good. I don't know how great I think it is. I guess I'm one that thinks Kenny Moore's a hair overrated. Stephon Gilmore towards the end of his career. So I guess there's just questions for me there. I could see them kind of getting off to a good start. I would, but I just feel like there's a middle stretch and there's just something missing to me about them. I have a hard time putting my hand on it. It's a good AFC, and I just think if there's one team that I think, ooh, is a kind of a playoff type of team that kind of underwhelms us this year, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to have them not making the playoffs, just for full disclosure right now.
Putting your finger on it, right?
I'm putting my finger on it.
That's what I was trying to think when you said that. I was like, that's close. But finger, right?
Yes.
But your whole hand, why can't you put your whole hand on it?
Yeah, right. Now right? Totally got my whole hand on it.
You're that confident I'm putting all 5 fingers on it. That's interesting. The Colts are a tough one. Everyone's got them as a team that could even be in the Super Bowl this year. You feel like the love maybe has gone a little too far with the Indianapolis Colts. So you're going under on 9.5.
You can sit there. I could say, hey, I could see them beating the Texans week 1 in Jacksonville and being 2-0. And then losing to the Chiefs and Titans and being 2-2. And who knows with the Broncos game? Could win that 3-2, beat Jacksonville 4-2. And then, hey, things get tough at Tennessee, the Commanders, Patriots, Raiders, Eagles, Steelers, Cowboys. I don't know. It's another team, too, where I guess I don't trust the second weapon on the team yet. Who is that going to be other than Michael Pittman? Is Paris Campbell? Is it going to be Alec Pierce, who, have all shown signs of, okay, I like it, but they, again, it's not dependable right yet. So I'm going with that hair under there.
So under the 9.5 over under win total. Titans have the same one, 9.5. I'm feeling you're going to go over on Tennessee.
I'm definitely going over.
12 wins last year.
They're being disrespected to me. That's where I don't understand. And again, I don't know. I'm not sitting here going they're going to be 12 wins, but I just feel like 9.5 is too low. I do. One, tight end play good. Offensive line, still going to be good. It's one group there that, I know they're going to coach up and play. We know the tailback's good. I like the way Treylon Burks has looked the last 2 weeks. Had 3 catches the other night. To me, just looks faster, quicker, better route runner these last 2 preseason games, which is encouraging. Ryan Tannehill had a good training camp from everything I've been told. So I look at that, and then I think the other aspect I look at is just go, I just have a hard time thinking the Titans won't be a top 5 defense in football this year. One, their front 7 to me is like, it's scary good. Jeffrey Simmons is in the conversation for best defensive tackle in football. Harold Landry is a blue chip pass rusher. Bud Dupree, a year away from the ACL injury, is a blue-chip pass rusher, and let alone they have all the other guys to fill in there. I think people are sleeping on the Titans.
You're high on the Titans.
Yeah.
It's Peachy 84 is as well. He goes, as a Titans fan from New Zealand, I'm super hyped by what Malik Willis has shown. You too?
Yeah, me too. I mean, I love the way Malik Willis. I don't think Ryan Tannehill's on a short leash here, though. That's where I want everybody to realize what we're saying. I don't think this is like, oh, they're 3-3, and he's not been 100% great. We're going to yank him for Malik Willis. No, this is more of, wow, I'm excited for what they have in the future. Like, his look is the real deal. His throwing, he has an explosive arm, and he has very good control of the ball. decision making, still in the process of, yeah, getting better at that. You know, took a sack in the game on, I think, his first or second drive the other day, watching back on film, where he's going to look at it and go, oh, man, I had the post route for 50-yard, maybe a 70-yard touchdown, but, you know, the coverage kind of fooled him. Just young, getting used to playing football type of stuff. But, man, everything, we saw drastic improvements in the pocket, reading the defenses, just from preseason game one against the Ravens to preseason game number three against the Cardinals, to where I just go, and then we see the running and the electric arm and all that. I love the way they look. They definitely have their guy of the future. It's just, does Ryan Tannehill hold them off for another year? Or, you know, is it just a so-so year and they go, okay, let's rip the Band-Aid off, it's time to go Malik Willis? To me, that's the big question.
The future is bright. The present is bright.
Exactly.
For the Tennessee
Titans.
That's the way to put
it.
You
got
the over on their win total there. The Jaguars, we think the future is bright for them. You do. You liked what you saw when you saw them up close and personal at the first preseason game of the year. 6.5. That's an aggressive over-under on the win total because they only had three wins last year.
The Jaguars, I'm not picking them to go to the playoffs, right? All right, so when we full disclosure, when we get to the end of this exercise.
Okay.
But if there was that surprise team, like the Bengals last year, where we went, oh, my gosh, they were one of the worst teams in football the year before, and here they are in the playoffs, the Jaguars are the team that I will throw up to go. The team that comes out of nowhere that goes to the playoffs is the Chris Sims Jaguars. That's what I would say. And I'm not picking that, like I said. This one, the 6.5.
They're favored in only two games, Pete is noting here.
I want to, you know, they're a team that, again, would classify under, can they get going early and get a little confidence? If they can just steal a win or two early, I want to say over. Now, what do I want to do?
Why didn't they just make it at 4.5 to make it easy for you, right?
I know. So 6.5. This is like one of my toughest ones. This is the other one I wrote a flat
because
line.
Because you're like the Jaguars guy.
Well,
right now.
There's a part of me that 7-10 is not crazy, I don't think, for this team. You know, they're not. 6-11.
I'm looking at this.
Yeah.
So the last time, and of course they're playing one extra game now, but the last time they won 7, so to hit the over.
Yeah.
2017, they went 10-6, but the time before that was 2010, so we're talking once a decade here, basically.
I'm going to go with the over.
Oh, my gosh.
But just barely. I mean, again, you got the gun to my head, and I got to pick one, so I'm going over.
If you're just listening, I do actually
this guy
have a gun.
Is gun-loving, gun-loving guy over here.
Different one each time. So you're going over
just
barely.
I'm going over. Again, and when I say over, I'm talking like 7. But to me, they're going to be a better football team. They have a very talented roster. And, you know, if it's bad, I guess what I'm saying is I think the worst it can be is 6-10. That's really about the worst I think it can be. I'd be shocked if it's much worse than that.
All right, so if you took the aggressive over on the Jaguars, you're going to have to be harsher to some other teams here, I feel like.
I know.
Maybe the Texans are that team.
Well, I was harsher with the Browns and the Steelers
you
and
were.
All that, too.
And the Colts.
And the Jets.
All right,
yeah,
so maybe, you got some love to
look
spread
you,
still.
You're fucking being like the Twitterverse now.
Why are you being so mean? Texans 4.5 is their over-under. They had 4 wins last year. Pete notes here they are not favored in a single game this year. They are a pick 'em. In week 17 versus the Jags.
Yeah, I'm going to go under, though. I am.
And under 4.5.
I am. There's not that a lot that I love. There's good. I think they got a lot of their meat and potatoes, as I always say, with this team in place. But there's not enough sizzle on their team yet to where I go, oh, you know, these few guys will get them over the edge in some close football games and help them win. So that's where I just, you know, and again, maybe they could steal a game early on. Early on the schedule is not that bad. Broncos in week 2, we'll see what they are. The Bears in week 3, okay. Jacksonville in week 5, you know, maybe they steal some of these ones. Who knows? The Colts, they always seem to give them an issue. Yeah. Maybe they could steal something. I don't know. But I just look at it overall and just go, I can't do it. And I think the other thing that I just get to is once it goes from about week 7 on, it's pretty legit tough. I mean, it's like legit tough where you go, whoa, okay, Raiders, Titans, Eagles, you know. I know the Giants, okay, we could say that's maybe a push-type game. Commanders, Dolphins, Browns, Cowboys, Chiefs, Titans, You know, Jaguars, Colts. So the majority of those teams have better teams than them.
But again, when you're bad, every game is tough.
I know. That's right. So I'm going to go under, though.
Under on the Texans, even though it was just 4.5. All right, we're getting close to your playoff picks. We're getting hints along the way, but one more division to do. That is the AFC West. Take a look at the odds here. Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos. You know, a couple of those teams should be improved. Wow, look at the odds here. If you're listening, you can't look, but I'll help you out. Chiefs are the favorite, but only slightly. Plus 175. Chargers second choice at plus 200. So close. Broncos right there too, plus 300. And Raiders still in the mix at plus 600. Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. Arguably the toughest division in football. No doubt. Where do you want to start this?
Chiefs, you think they're the favorite?
Yes. Yes.
10.5.
Way too low for me. Way too low. Anybody that's been listening to me through preseason, team on a mission. Team on a mission. I like the young pieces they got. I think they're going to be better on the defensive line. I think in a lot of ways they're going to be better on the offensive side of the ball too. So, yes, there you go. I'm picking the Chiefs over 10.5. All right? They're winning the AFC West. Let me just clarify that right now before we get to the other three teams. They are winning the AFC West. Anything else you want? All right,
that's
it. The show. See you later.
I
look at it and go, the way Mahomes has looked, the way the offense has looked, the variety of players that they have on the offensive side of the ball, talent wise. You've heard me say, I think it can be one of the best pass protecting O lines in all of football.
Yep.
They got imagination on that side of the ball. The defense has imagination. I think they have more big bodies up front. They got two linebackers in the middle that can fly who are a year older. The safeties are an upgrade with Thornhill and Reed over Matthew and Thornhill. All right. I like the way McDuffie looks. Hopefully he's good after, you know, getting his bell rung the other night. I know Legarius Sneed over there. Fenton. I mean, I like it all. Karlaftis again, ass whooping on preseason game number 3. So, I'm very bullish on the Chiefs, as you could tell.
Why do you say they're on a mission?
Because I just feel like a team that lost a Super Bowl, a team that was like, played B-plus football for most of the year last year and then got it going and probably are looking at it going, damn, we fucking should have beat the Bengals and just kind of fell asleep at the wheel a little bit. It's like the character of those people there are not going to be like, well, we're the Chiefs. We went to the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl the year before that. And we'll just, you know, feed up and we'll happen again. It just the way they're talking, the way they've played – Mahomes wants to be an all-time great. Andy Reid is an all-time great. I just feel like they got their edge back a little bit, let alone I think they improved their team a little. So I just look at that and go, and then it's they can't win without Tyreek Hill and all that crap. Like, I just feel like it's all setting up for them to be the big Jersey State bird in everybody's face.
All right, so you're going over on the Chiefs. Yeah. The Chargers right there with them, 10.5 is the over-under. They did win 9 games last year, just barely missed out on the playoffs, last second to the Raiders, 10.5.
I know.
Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson on defense now.
It's right in this range. It's right in this range, all right? I mean, it's like, man, this is a really tough one with me with the Chargers. I don't know where I want to go. Like, the way you look at their schedule, first off, I know their roster is really good. I worry about Brandon Staley a little bit. You know, with the aggressive fourth down calls. I do think it cost them in some games. Now, I understand that they won some games because of it too. But I guess it does worry me. But, man, I look at their team and go, well, there's not really much weakness anymore. The O-line's gotten straightened out. I think they're going to have enough big bodies in the middle to slow down the run a little bit more. Plus, it's year 2 in Brandon Staley's scheme. I think he's got more of a – they'll have more of an understanding and the more pieces that fit it. Yeah. I almost want to go over with them too, but just barely over.
Okay? Like 10.6 or something like that.
right. Something like that. Yeah. To be fair, if you're hearing me, I think they're a 10-win, 11-win type of football team. Your guns to my head again, and I'm going with 11. I'm going to go with the over here.
Wow.
All right, the first 8 games, I could see the first 8 games for the Chargers looking at that going, whoa. The Chargers are 7-1, maybe.
Good start. They could have a good
start. You know what I mean? 6-2. Now, the last half of the schedule, the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Titans, at the Colts on a Monday Night Football game, Rams, at Broncos, that's a brutal stretch there to end the season. But I could see them coming out of the gate strong and us being like, whoa, they're 6-2 or 7-2 or 8-1, and I think the Chargers are the best team in football. I wouldn't be shocked with that. There's not, you know, other than the Chiefs, they're the only team there that to me that I just go definitely better than them on the roster wise. Right.
You showed some love now to the Titans and the Jaguars and the Chargers now. We got to hammer a team. I'm feeling like it might be the Broncos here.
You're right. It is.
10.5, which is way higher than I thought it would be.
I'm not going anywhere near there. And to me, this is the obvious under. I'm shocked by this.
Even with Russell Wilson.
I know. I understand how awesome Russell Wilson is. But I guess a little bit the way they've looked, all right? I'm not just sold that it's, hey, this isn't like Tom Brady to the Bucks or Stafford to the Rams, where the groundwork was already laid, the teams were great, and then they just needed the quarterback to get them over the edge. This is like, no, it's a brand new head coach that we've never seen be a head coach. This is different here. This is like a lot of, we think these receivers are good, but we're not really sold on it yet. We can't write home about it. O-line, okay, it's solid. Not great. Maybe better than Russell Wilson's had the last few years, but I'm not going to go, oh, wow, it's the Denver O-line. Watch out, whoever plays them. Defensively, secondary's awesome. Front seven's underwhelming. So, yes, I don't see 10.5 anywhere near here. I think this could be 6-11, 7-10 football team.
6-11.
Yeah, there you go. Hammered a team. There you go.
You know, Russ got hurt last year, came back.
Right.
Wasn't all that great. I'm curious to see how he plays.
I am too. And again, I think just being in a new spot. You know, getting used to life away from Seattle and just the pressure of all that. I don't know. There's just something that I don't love about what I feel or see with the Broncos.
A lot of changes in Las Vegas as well. New coach over there. 8.5 is the over-under. They won 10 games last year, squeaked into the playoffs, beat the Chargers, got the 5 seed. 8.5. Seems low.
I know.
But it's a tough division, too.
I've said two teams that I had the flat line with, and this is the other team that I'm, right on the flat line with a little bit.
All right, hold on. Let me pull my gun out here. I'm going to put it to your head.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the under, though. I am. I mean, this is again, I don't think it's going to be significantly far under, but, yes, I'm going to go 8. You know, I think the thing that bothers me, again, it's a coaching staff that definitely doesn't have the pieces they want for their schemes. All right. I think that you'll see Derek Carr and the offense put up good numbers. I worry about their O-line. I think that's the first thing to say. Worry about their O-line. And as I pull up their schedule, let me just get to it.
I almost think, too, before you get to the schedule with the roster,
right.
We do have the schedule here, but with the roster,
right.
It's like, how can – I mean, it was almost a shock that they got into the playoffs.
It was amazing.
Year. I mean, they have not really hit on the draft, right? And you feel like any team that can consistently give you playoffs, they hit on the draft.
Yes.
And they just haven't done that. I think it was almost a small miracle they made the playoffs last year.
I do. I think it kind of fell the right way for them. It was. I think they kind of – it's over expectations for sure. Yeah. At least I look at it that way. And then you talk about offensive line issues. Man, the Chargers to start the year. Titans week 3. Chiefs week 5. You know, the Cardinals do crazy stuff, blitzing and all that too. So I guess I worry about that. And then I just look at their defense and I go, I know they got the two pass rushers. That's real. I'm not sure I'm in love with their interior D-line, linebackers. You know, nobody to write home about in the secondary, really. So I guess that's where I question it, let alone, they're in the AFC West, and they got to play, the AFC South and the NFC West, NFC West is really good. And I think we were saying with the AFC South, even though the Titans are the only team I'm looking at to be in that playoff picture,
right.
The Colts and Jaguars are not going to be pushovers. So, I think the Raiders are being a little too highly overvalued for – yes, they got in last year, but some teams had a trip up and stumble down the stretch for them to get in, too. And I don't know if I really look at them with this coaching staff and this scheme here as a playoff caliber football
Not yet.
Team.
Not yeah. yet, right? No. Although they are favored in 9 games this season, but none of those games are against opponents in the AFC West.
Mm. And so their end of the season is
crazy.
Brutal, too. That is crazy. And if you do look at the end of the year, I mean, their last game of the year – is their last two games of the year are the 49ers and the Chiefs. Before that's Patriots, Steelers. You got the Rams, the Chargers. I mean, they got a stretch there at the end where I could see them maybe falling apart a little at the end of the season.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, so that's it.
That's it.
We did over-under on the win totals. Now it's time to put pen to paper.
Maybe I should have been more aggressively under on some of those, you know, but... No, I checked it.
The math works
out. It's good.
The math
checks out. I was 267 for 267.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. So eight over and eight under,
okay,
Pete says.
There we go.
Right down the middle.
I didn't even mean to do that.
Math checks
out. Look
at
that.
All right. So let's do it. Your seeds.
Yeah.
The two byes.
Right.
Who do they go to?
Well, there's only one bye, right?
Oh, that's right.
Right.
There's one bye now. That's right. There's one bye now.
Oh, did Pete mess that up?
No, don't worry about it.
No, Pete.
No.
Pete messed it up. They just let everybody know. Pete messed it up.
But I didn't catch it, and so I'm going to take the L on that, too.
Yeah.
Look at what a great move by me.
Along with not getting your co-host a birthday gift, yes, you need to take the L on that.
Yeah.
All right. My first-round bye is the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm putting the Kansas City Chiefs as the number one seed in the playoffs. All right? My rest of my division winners.
Yep.
I'm going to make the Bills my number two seed.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to make the Ravens the number three seed and the Titans the number four seed. And then I will have the Bengals as five, the Chargers as six, and the Dolphins as seven.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
There we go. That's my seven playoff football teams
for
this year.
So the Dolphins get in.
Yes.
They're your last team in.
The Dolphins, the Colts, and the Raiders were the teams where I came down to go, ooh, where do I want to go here? You know, those were the three that I just went to. And I'm going to go with the Dolphins because I think McDaniel's going to give the offense a kick, and I just think the damn team's too talented.
Yeah.
I really do.
They got a little bit of a swag to them
they
now.
Do.
Right?
They
do. Tyreek over
going.
There, McDaniel.
I think so. Yeah, I do.
They're going to be interesting to watch.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I did pick here.
Awesome.
Here's where I put my neck on the line.
Good.
A-line.
A-line.
My division winners, I'm taking the Bills. I'm taking the Bengals to win the division.
All right, cool.
I'm also taking the Colts to win the division. So when you were talking there, it made me very nervous.
I'm also taking
the Chargers to win the division.
Okay, you're going there.
The Chiefs will make the playoffs as a wild card. The Ravens are in as a wild card.
All right.
And the Dolphins are in as a wild card.
Okay.
So I guess we have a lot of the same teams.
You just have no Titans.
I have no Titans. We just switched the Titans and Colts.
Yeah, you're right. Just the Titans and Colts. That's it. Some of the seedings. Yeah. All right, so there we go. All right,
I listen to you too much. That's the problem. You know, our brains become the same.
Well, that's okay. I don't think it's. I don't think that's a crazy. This first off, it's not easy in the AFC.
It's not.
Holy cow! I mean, you know, again, you got teams like the Patriots that were leaving out here, and
I wanted to kind of the Browns. I was like, man, that roster's so good. It's just got too much going on. Too much turmoil.
Too scary.
So they were my first. They were out. Tennessee was my first team out, and then it was Cleveland.
Then
after
Cleveland.
That.
Yeah, I hear you there. I don't think that's crazy at all. All right, so let's go to. You want to go to the next round here?
Yeah.
You
so you're play pick, this out? You're playing it out. Yes.
All right, but you're going to play it out too.
I'm going to
have to figure out your math here. Okay.
Oh, you're right.
All right. So now I got the 2-7 matchup, which would be Bills Dolphins.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
Tua's going to go up to Buffalo and beat Josh Allen. Negative no. Ghost Rider. So
hey,
I'm picking the Bills.
Great run. Miami, a step in the right direction.
Right. Got to the playoffs. Right. And then we can still start the questions. Is Tua the right guy for the future? Can he lead them through an AFC playoff in bad weather?
And we will lead that discussion. Yes.
We will lead it for then.
Yeah.
All right. 3-6 matchup was Ravens-Chargers.
Uh-huh.
Chargers having to go to Baltimore.
Oof.
Right. I'm going to take the Ravens at home there. All right, so they got the Ravens winning that one. And then the 4-5 matchup is a matchup from last year's playoff, Titans-Bengals. Cincinnati will go to Tennessee once again and upset the Tennessee Titans. And I'm going to go, with my final four, the Chiefs playing the Bengals, the Bills playing the Ravens, and I'm going to take the Chiefs
get their revenge on the Bengals, and the Bills beat the Ravens. And as much as I kind of wanted to be different and cool, I'm going to stick with something that's been in my head for the last 2 weeks, and anybody who's listening to the pod knows. I just think these teams are on a collision course. I think there are two teams that have sent off the same vibe to me all preseason, that we don't give a shit if it's preseason game one. We're coming out here to kick your ass and play our guys, and we're going to go after it. And then you add on the quarterbacks and the coaches with it. I just see Chiefs, Bills, Manning, Brady rivalry. It just continues part four here. And I'm wishing for it. And I think my football mind and intellect tells me that's going to happen. So we'll see.
How good of a game would that be, right? Rematch back in the playoffs in Kansas City against the Bills. That's pretty cool. So Chiefs and Bills, we're not picking the winner there, right? We're going to save that for next time.
We'll save that, right. Okay. Let's save our true Final Four so we can talk about who's the gets to the Super Bowl at the end of the next one.
I skipped all the way ahead to the AFC Championship. And so my AFC Championship game will be the Bills versus the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay.
The Chargers have made it.
The upset.
They've made it. They revamped that defense. The fourth down, go for it, gunslingers. They work out more for them. It all balances out, and I'm taking the Chargers to take a big step.
So you're going to have the Chargers beat like the Chiefs, Ravens, or Dolphins in the first round, and then I got you. Then I want you to play it out all the way here.
I know, but I was afraid that I would do something that was not possible. You know, like, well,
so
that would never happen.
Your division winners, though. You think the Bills will be the one seed? Are you picking the Bills to be your one seed, you think? You're not sure about that?
No, I better pick the Chargers to be the one seed because I don't want the Chargers going to Buffalo in that game. Because
you want them at home and they're
I think
their
so,
dome.
Yeah.
They're home in their dome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Home in their dome.
Yeah.
No place like home.
Chargers and Bills. I'm going out on a limb with the Chargers here, although I do feel like they're going to be a sexy pick, and that's always a problem.
I don't think you're crazy with that one. I mean, again, could the Chargers go to Baltimore and beat the Ravens? Or, you know, in my book, of course they can. Don't second guess yourself.
You love Herbert.
I love Herbert. I love the additions they made. I mean, they're not going to have J.C. Jackson early on, but he'll be back, you know, pretty early on in the season.
They got Derwin James back.
Exactly right. Those pass rushers, what? Come on. I mean, they got a lot to like about that football team. There's no doubt. So I don't think that's a crazy thing for you to pick at all.
Okay. All right.
All right. So that's – you sure – we don't want to do this, right, Pete? You want to just leave it, or do you want me to give the AFC winners? Do we want to give – Yeah, let's wait.
We're going to wait
to give our Super Bowl matchup on Wednesday when we do the NFC over and unders.
Yep.
Okay.
But you know what we're not waiting for?
What's that?
Finally celebrating in proper fashion. 42, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on Peacock. Oh, my gosh. Chris thought it was going to be a cake to the face.
I was afraid.
Why would you never
do that? Morgan would not do that.
Boom.
You know, what show would do that? Has that ever happened before?
Yes,
here?
It has happened. And I totally was like, oh no, I'm dead.
Do we have a instant replay of Chris noticing Morgan?
They'll have it later.
Up? Oh my gosh.
That was scary. I'm taking this too.
A man was scared by a cake.
Yeah.
In the hands of Morgan. A man who's had a gun to his head multiple times this podcast was freaked out about a cake.
I know, right. The cake's way messier. Way messier than that gun. Yeah. Definitely.
Happy birthday
Don't do this.
Happy birthday to you.
Please.
Pete's singing
thank
to
you.
Happy birthday, dear Chris.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, you guys are so nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. 42's in the books. All right, everybody.
Not to the end of it.
Oh, I got a full day left here. Okay, it's not in the books yet.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, Wednesday, NFC win totals, questions, keep them coming. Ahmed, thanks for not getting me a T-shirt of my own podcast. Thank you.
Yeah.
You just keep hoarding those, all right? Appreciate it.
Eventually, one day.
You the man.
Maybe 45, like a bigger number.
We've
got to
wait for it. Right, okay, it's not a big enough one. Okay, all right, everybody, stay good out there. Keep watching football. Send in the questions like I talked about. We'll see you Wednesday.
Clap it up. On a birthday.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. the longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.